Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
I was all fired up to get into nothing but sports, but before I booked this interview, actually right after it, Queen Elizabeth passed away at the age of 96. I'm with Joe Davidson. Obviously, I don't have a lot of connection overseas, but I do know folks that live in London, and it's certainly a sad time for them today.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth II, a good life, 97 years old, 98. I just posted on my Facebook, Dave, Sacramento Bee story that had some photos of her when she visited Sacramento in 1983, and good job by our photo staff to kind of drum all that stuff up. And she went through Yosemite after a Sacramento visit, and you know, and of course there's a couple of people on social media, oh, the bozo is dead, good riddance. Well, good riddance to good karma coming to that guy or that girl or whatever. And some of these are people with 10,000, 20,000 Twitter followers. So, you know, a nobody behind the keyboard, but no. And we talk about hot weather, football games, tough losses, big moments. You know, big picture tells us that a great figure in history, Queen Elizabeth II, has died. So good touch there, sir, to start this programming. Everything else is not as important.
Man, I know I was going to get into, you know, beating the heat and all that, but obviously it's the biggest story in the world right now. So I don't want to live in that vacuum of sports only, at least to acknowledge that, and someone that had the reign for 70 years.
70 years. Isn't that amazing? And you know, we knew something was coming up because there were global reports yesterday that the doctors were telling family members, get everybody close to her, because this could be the end, or something like that. It was worded like that, but you know, it sounded like it was imminent, and she's being rightfully celebrated for her amazing impact on this world.
Yeah, I thought you had a great run at 34 years, which is certainly impressive.
That's my goal, is 70 years in media until I can't hear, until somebody says, "Can you do a Zoom?" And I'll go, "A what? What's a Zoom?" Look how far we've come with technology. You know, we could do Zooms and podcasts. I mean, that's it's amazing.
Joe, how are you beating the heat? We had 116 in Livermore a couple of days ago, and I know you've been obviously on fire up there in Sacramento.
Well, not as bad here, Dave. It's only 115 here in Elk Grove in Sacramento County. So if you had 116, it's the hottest I've ever seen. It feels like we're on the surface of the sun. You know, it's never been this hot in September. But fortunately, Saturday coming up will break. You know, it's going to be in the upper 80s. And next week, more of the same. So we're getting back to normal. But boy, you talk about a high pressure ridge and the fallout of, do you practice if you're a high school program or a college program? And what is, you know, coaches are so used to tradition and a routine and a schedule, Dave, but then there becomes common sense. I did a couple stories earlier this year, a lot of it on high school football, on how it used to be you just ran guys into the ground, the Oklahoma drills, and hit, don't water them, you know, water hydration is for the weak and all that. Well, over time, that proved to be complete nonsense and dangerous and reckless and stupid and narrow-minded. Athletes are better performing athletes when they're hydrated. Hello. And those kind of things. So it's good to see, you know, we're both fans of Troy Taylor, the Sacramento State football coach, has done amazing things. You know, these guys are men, these players, but you also still have to, you know, work within reason and sanity, and don't do practices when it's 105 or 110, 115. Sounds like we're exaggerating, but no, that's how hot it's been. And high school coaches, college coaches, you know, be flexible. Nighttime practices, early morning, because you can't do it when it's 115, despite tradition and schedules and normalcy, you know, like their normal routine, because you could have a disaster.
Well, you just said you can't do it, but one of the biggest stories in your area is the kid from Del Oro who collapsed at practice, 115 degrees. So what can you tell us about that?
Oh, it's amazing. So Del Oro, amazing in that it's a stunning story that it happened. So Del Oro High School is in Loomis in Placer County. It's one of the great programs in this region. Been to state championships, won state championships, been to 15 section championships over 30 years. It's as great of a home atmosphere festival of any program in Northern California. And they have coaches who care about their kids. And Mike Maben's their current coach. And he was a student athlete of high regard at Del Oro a generation ago. Always wanted to teach and coach at Del Oro. And so I talked to him a few weeks ago about hot practices, and you got to be smart and mindful. So he has a practice on Tuesday when it's 115 degrees. It was a shortened practice, but nobody else was doing it, or not that we heard of. And a 6'3", 240-pound junior named Rico Petrino, who his father, also named Rico, says goes 100% all the time. Good kid, loves football, and he collapsed twice. Some people within the Del Oro program, not the coaches, because they somebody's put a gag order on them from the district, but we're hearing, well, that's exaggerated. It didn't happen. Well, I don't think the parents are going to make this up. And they went to the hospital and saw that he had heat stroke to the point, Dave, where his muscles were rigid and he couldn't speak. And here it is Thursday, 2 days later, and the father tells me this morning he's still groggy, he's going to be okay, but he may not play football the rest of the season, because once you have a heat stroke incident like that, you become really susceptible of it again. And the father, who played linebacker at Oregon State, 4-year starter in the 1990s, knows football. So he's no cupcake. And people are saying, oh, those kids are weak and this and that. That's just mind-boggling. But he said in the story, David, because I don't have any animosity towards Coach Mike Maben. He goes, I have issue with the principal that allowed an after-school practice. And the principal, Kim Berry, who won't get back to us, and I'm a little irked about that, apparently said, well, we don't even have a heat policy in place. You'd better find one really fast. And the school district finally, after our story just blew up, got, the school district, Placer Unified School District, finally sent a statement saying, you know, we're going to learn from this in so many words and all that. Is the coach old school and he's trying to run the guys on the ground? No. Does he love his kids and his program? Yes. Was he wrong for having a Yeah, it could easily be argued that. And a shortened practice or otherwise, I'd love to hear from him. I've reached out to the school district again to say, you know, can somebody lift the gag order here? We've also heard venom, if you will, and heat, if that's the right word. Oh, that's a hit piece on Del Oro. That's the Sacramento Bee hating. That's rubbish. You know, we just cut that off right there. We have chronicled Del Oro's greatest achievements over the years. I've done it personally. So that's just nonsense for anybody to suggest anything like that. We'd like to have some transparency. It'd be good to hear from a school athletic director, and for them not to get back is weak. At least send something back where we can't say anything, but to just ignore it, you know, is a bad look. Because here's the thing, Dave, had somebody from the school gotten back to me yesterday morning, I was just trying to find out how the student was and how accurate it was. We hear through the grapevine that a Del Oro football player collapses at practice while we're doing these heat sensitive stories. You got to be mindful of practices and what they do. So this is a topical deal, and it's not sensationalism. People say, oh, it's clickbait. No, this is news. We don't want to be doing these stories, but you have to pursue these stories. And nobody got back to me. Repeated attempts. So I found the dad through social media, and he got back to me. And so I appreciate that, but he's going to be fine. Thank goodness. Del Oro has since gone to morning practices. It's certainly a wake-up call, screaming red flags there. You just can't do it. And some people will say, I'm getting long-winded here, well, why don't you move the games to Saturday mornings? Well, a lot of these venues are reserved for youth football programs. Well, why don't you do it at 10 p.m. at night? I don't know if you want to play games that late, you know. And, well, the CIF doesn't care, the governing body. Well, this isn't a CIF deal. The CIF will govern its playoffs when it really is its deal. The regular season games are up to each school and each school district. So there we go. And we're keeping, you know, a lot of junior varsity and freshman games have been canceled this week because they kick off at 5 p.m. There's just only so many places you could have varsity games and JV games all at 9 p.m. or whatever. So a lot of those players are frustrated, understandable, but it's the safe thing to do. You know, are the kids getting too soft? No, it's hotter than it's ever been. And you just don't want to risk something, you know, crazy. And as you know, Dave, the field turf really radiates even more heat. So if it was 115 degrees at Del Oro in Loomis,
130 on the turf, probably,
absolutely, with black helmets on. You know, I don't wear helmets anymore because it's too hot. Of course, it's been years since I wore a helmet, but you know, you feel me.
I mean, in the press box, you would get a couple of weird looks, you know, with the
Well, hey, I tell you what, speaking of the press box, so Sac State's new press box, we applaud it. It's, you know, yes. I mean, how many times have you sweated 14 pounds covering a game, and there you are, you and our bet were comfortable and probably your best call, especially on some guy named Cameron Scatabo, who blew me away with what he did. I love the kickoff play. He scooped it up. Your call was terrific. I've never seen anything like that, but great instincts. And then he plows through seven guys to get into the end zone. Just a remarkable effort. And that's what he's done as long as he's played football.
It's amazing. I mean, nobody wanted to give him a scholarship. Nobody.
And here's the interesting thing. So Cameron Scatabo was this high school phenom. It's almost this storybook stuff. Rio Linda here in Sacramento County. You know, it's a tough town with tough kids, and a lot of their parents went to school there, and their grandparents, and a lot of kids love their town, and they defend the image. You know, Rush Limbaugh used to savage Rio Linda as just a garbage town, but they rallied, and they had this kid, Cameron Scatabo, a few years ago, leads him to a state football championship on their home field. He rushed for nearly 7,000 yards in high school. Yeah, just amazing. 300-yard games. I mean, he looked like he could do anything. I'm thinking, well, why isn't anybody offering him a scholarship? Well, he's a good student. He's a good character guy. He's not the biggest guy, the fastest guy, but boy, sure makes plays. You'd think somebody somewhere would offer him Division II, Division III, you know, whatever. And only one guy looked at him, and only one guy really liked him, and that was Troy Taylor, the Sac State coach. And I remember talking to Troy, and I said, well, why? And he goes, he loves football. He goes, we will find room for this guy. And so last season, Sac State lost a running back to the transfer portal, Elijah Dotson. And so Sac State doesn't miss a beat, then we'll just plug in Cameron Scatabo. And as you've seen ever since then, he plays motivated, inspired. He had the short touchdown. He had the short catch from Asher O'Hara, I think it was, or Jake Dunaway. And then he heads upfield into the end zone. And, of course, he wants to make sure he runs over a guy. And then after the game, I asked him, because I'm just wired that way. I don't feel like I'm in a game until I have contact. So, of course, that kickoff play when he's dragging seven guys, that's his element. And so he appreciates everything, Dave. You talked to him. You've seen him. I mean, he appreciates every ounce. He goes, I'm here because the coach believed in me. I just think it's – I thought he brought him in because he had the great beard, but no, it's because he can play. And he's a remarkable player. Fans need to go out and watch this guy. You know, it's one thing to watch him on TV, you know, if you're on the call, but come out and watch him. I mean, this guy, you know, is a sight to behold, and he's just getting warmed up. He's only a couple years into his career.
Well, it's amazing, just a sophomore, so he's going to have a great career. You've seen everything at Sacramento State in 30-plus years. Who do you think has been the best running backs, and where would you put Cameron? I know it's early and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but potentially where he could be.
Well, you know, that's what we can do. We can get ahead of ourselves. That's why we do that stuff. Charles Roberts, 20 years ago, and they nicknamed him Blink, because if you blink, you're going to miss a play. And he was only about 5'6", 5'7", and he was also really lightly recruited. John Bullock, the coach then, grabbed him out of Southern California, and he said, program rushing records and is in the CFL, Canadian Football League Hall of Fame, because he was just spectacular. So he certainly ranks at the top. They've had other guys who have touched in the NFL, but Cameron Scatabo, as an overall versatile guy, I didn't know he could catch the ball like that. Troy Taylor believed in him. I didn't know he was on the hands team and could make plays like that. So he may be the most exciting overall player that I, you know, certainly I've seen in the last 20 years, and Sac State's had a bunch, even when haven't had good teams, they've had good players, but this guy is, you know, and he's so easy to root for, Dave. He's homegrown. He's polite. The guys love him. I think Asher O'Hara said it after the game. I've never seen anybody like him. He has like a bowling ball, and Asher O'Hara is one of their quarterback aces. And, yeah, so he's easy to root for. And so I'm urging Sac State fans, get out there. What do you want? You want a winning product? You got it. You want guys from local schools? You got it. You want a coach who's fun and says the right things and does the right things? You got it. So go out and watch. You know, and it's Sac State's got an odd buy this week, but they're going to be worth a watch. And they're going for a Big Sky Conference three-peat, so they're doing good things. And guys like Cameron Scadaboo are leading the charge.
Did you think it was possible to have a program in Sacramento that's, you know, this good? Because they've been bad, mediocre at best, you know, for many years.
Yes, I totally thought it was doable because you're in the state capital. So you're in the, you know, one of the known cities in the state, in Sacramento. And, you know, football has succeeded before. And you get Troy Taylor in there, who is homegrown, is a Cordova High School player, you know, from 1985, our SACB Player of the Year, four-year starter at Cal at quarterback. And they recruit California alone, and they go hard on this local region. So you can, you know, the Big Sky has those bruisers in Montana and Montana State and Weber State over the years. Well, they don't have combined, they don't have the recruiting background or the recruiting basin that Sac State has. And so it's been doable, and it's really clicking now. And these are the best teams that Sac State's ever had. You know, if this, you know, this year, last season, or 2019 are the best teams they've ever had. And, you know, it's a little misleading because Sac State started football in 1954. First conference championship was like 64. Another one, 66. I think they won one in 1984, 86 or something. And then recently in the 1995, not a lot. So, it's a great thing for Sac State. And I could see them still winning. The next step is winning playoff games. And I think we saw in 2019, 2021 in the playoffs, just how good these FCS teams are. And I don't know if the FCS gets enough appreciation around here because, you know, we have so many FBS programs in California, but man, that FCS, and you've seen it, good football, really good football. And UC Davis has found out too, as a good team, and South Dakota State, beating up on teams. So I'm not surprised, at anything that Troy Taylor does. He's the best football coach I've ever experienced and been around. And I've, you know, been around a long time. I just think what he does is amazing. Gets guys involved and they push the tempo. And his whole theme is we want to create stress and anxiety on the defense. I just love how that sounds. We want to stress out that we want the defense full of anxiety because we're coming at you. And it's like, well, that's fun. And it's worth watching. So I think as long as he's there, they're going to keep rolling.
I mean, you look at all the threats they have offensively with all the receivers, multiple running backs, playing two quarterbacks at the same time. I mean, they can hurt you in so many different ways.
Yeah, and new linemen and a great line coach and Chris Richardson, who's the assistant head coach. And he and Troy Taylor are best friends, and they go way back. They coached together at nearby Folsom High School. And when Troy got the job, he said the whole deal was that Chris Richardson was coming with me as well as Bobby Fresquez, who was a former Hornet quarterback. He's the Hornets quarterback coach, and they've worked together. And people said, can Troy Taylor coached at Eastern Washington as a play caller and offensive coordinator at Utah, but he's never been a head coach in college, and the other guys haven't been in college at all. Can they do it? Yeah, they can do it. It's still football. It's still blocking and tackle and schemes. They can learn the whole scope of the NCAA clearinghouse and how recruiting works and what's legal, what's not, and when you can have contact, when you can't with prospects. They can learn that because they're sharp and they're not going to compromise their program. You don't hear an ounce of trouble coming out of this program. There's no academic misdeeds. There's no brawling in a bar or something. I mean, they keep a pretty tight ship. And I look at the kind of guys they get. Asher O'Hara and Jake Dunaway are the two quarterbacks. They rotate. They did last year. It works because they believe in each other. They believe in their coach. They both graduated already. They don't have to come back. They're not on the NFL radar. They're back because they are having a blast. And I think that's awesome. And Coach Taylor talked about that the other day in a story I did where he goes, that's just the kind of guys they are. How cool is that? A lot of times guys stick around because I'm going to get drafted and all that. They're in it because they love it, and they're probably going to be coaches down the road. So they're getting their master's degree, if you will, in quarterback play, teamwork, championship pursuit. So I think that's awesome. That's what kind of guys are getting in there.
Would you want? I know they've made the playoffs the last two seasons, but out in the first round, and they had the bye as a top four, top eight seed. Is there any benefit in not having a bye? I'd rather play fewer games than I had to win a national championship, but it seems like they were rusty each of those first playoff games the last two times.
Yeah, and you know, it's a fair state. You know, and but here's how it works, though, Dave. If they earned the bye because they won the conference, one of the best in the FCS. So they totally earned it, and they want to. I mean, who prepares better than Troy Taylor? And you get an extra week and all that. It's just they just got jumped on and against really good teams. So you they're not dwelling on that. Troy Taylor's talked about that. He goes, losses used to really put him into a funk. He'd go into weeks where he just felt like he lost his dog or family member. And he says, you just can't let football do that to you. And so, you know, I like their chances of winning the conference again and at the very least getting in the playoffs. And so, yeah, there could be argument that, you know, maybe they were a little rusty or they just got, you know, beat by teams that were better and just jumped on them. And there's a lot of, you know, they're in these big deficits, 17-point deficit. That's a lot of work to cut the gap. And by the time they cut it a little bit, there's not enough game left. So the fact that they're two-time conference champions is big. The fact that they've gotten in the playoffs is big. Now the next step, they know, we all know, now you got to win playoff games. You've arrived. Now you're at the dance. You better boogie to a good tune here. You've arrived. You got to back it up now. And I think they will. I like their chances, unless there's an injury or something. But if they have an injury at quarterback, they got another guy right there. They got depth at running back. They got depth at receiver. Tight end Marshall Martin blows me away. He's 6'2". 205, so he's not a prototypical big tight end, but Coach Taylor says he's probably the fastest guy on the team. So, you know, they're ready. They're eager. They're not even looking that far ahead. We know all that kind of, you know, one game at a time type of thing. But I think they're poised to really make a run this year. There's no doubt.
Is this the kind of community, and you've seen everything, that can really embrace a college football team? Because it's a great product. It's a top 10 team. It's a team that is in the mix, if you look big picture, for a national championship. Come on, Sacramento, let's step up, get out there, root these guys on.
Exactly right. And they're not expensive tickets. It's good weather, night games. Yes, the potential is absolutely here to have big crowds. I go to all these high school games in the last few years, city schools, teams up in the foothills and Elk Grove, small schools, medium schools, large. They're all packed because they love the product. So if the fans are already there in the high schools, then they're already here. I think we've heard this for years. Oh, we'll back a winner. Well, here's your winner. And, you know, UC Davis sells out every game, but it's a little misleading because it's only 10,000 seats. Sac State has like 22,000, so they had 10,000 the other night in the home opener against Utah Tech. But it looks half empty because half is full and the other side is not. But, yeah, that's – and some people, Dave, may argue, well, you know, who's the mascot of Weber State and you know, Northern Colorado and all that? Well, it doesn't matter. Come watch the team. You know, come watch. You know, it helps that the games are on ESPN Plus and or CW or Channel 31 that you're doing the call on. But people like to go to a live event, and so I think that's the real challenge. And it's also on Sac State and its marketing department to make it creative. And how can you get people out there and get more kids and all that? And so that's something they're working on daily.
As for the other football, some people call it the real football, right? FC Republic, Sacramento Republic, and they had that great run in Orlando, came to an end. And you were there for that massive home game with a huge crowd.
Isn't that amazing?
About Sacramento as a potential MLS market?
I think it's there. And Sac State, or I'm sorry, FC Republic really took a, you know, a loss, a kick to the shins, if you will, in football and in the soccer football. When the MLS thing and the whole project stopped here because of, you know, they had a big whale in Ron Burgle who pulled out. And you've got to have that kind of financial backing. But they're still in the game, if you will, FC Republic, because of the attendance, of the fans, of the you know, the game, what the U.S. Cup Championship was in Orlando. Big crowd down there, sold out 26,000. They had like 7,000 people at the Sacramento Convention Center downtown, rocking and rolling. The MLS, Major League Soccer, is aware of that. They want this market, so it's still doable. It was supposed to happen sooner than later. Now we're going to be delayed, but it's still there. And it's just like in the NBA, Dave, you know, the NBA likes small market teams that sell out: Utah, Orlando, Milwaukee, Portland, Sacramento, because it helps balance the, you know, the NBA. And I think Sacramento has proven it could be a terrific home base for an MLS team. It's already proven it for, you know, the Kings with all those successful seasons. The Kings dropped to the second lowest in the NBA last season in attendance. Well, it's because they haven't had a winner in 16 years. As soon as they get going again, that place will blow the roof off of Golden One Center. So, yeah, this is an MLS prime spot. Got to get a whale. Doesn't mean some big obese guy. It just means some guy who's got a fat bank account who wants to help fund this program and this franchise. And I think it's going to happen.
Potential out there. Hey, do you ever think that you could live in a place that's like a Phoenix, like a Vegas, and then the last few days just get you to change your mind, saying, you know, I'll never do that. That's BS. I couldn't live like that for 4 months at 115 degrees.
Well, I remember I'm a Bay Area guy, grew up in Half Moon Bay on a little farm where fog was the norm in the summer. And in my high school years, we were up in an Oregon mountains where, you know, I ran track meets in May and snow flurry. So I liked the cooler weather. And I used to tell my stepmom and my dad, you know, I'm never going to live in the Sacramento region and all that. And they lived in Davis. My parents were my mom was the farmer with my stepdad. My dad always lived in California. And here I am. I've been settled in here for all these years. And, you know, I guess in Orlando yesterday, last night, it was hot and humid. We're hot here, but we're not humid. So we should be walking around in t-shirts that say, it's a dry heat, lay off, toughen up, hydrate.
Yeah. Hey, you're good at this. Let's do it again as the Hornets make a, you know, run deep into the season, hopefully for the playoffs.
You bet. Always good to see you. Love your call, your passion, your enthusiasm. You know what's great about football? You don't know what's going to happen. And when Cameron Scadabu picks up that ball on that kickoff, what are you thinking? You don't. I mean, all of a sudden you're here it is. And was that as fun a call as you've had?
Well, I'm thinking, man, maybe we just get the football. You know, and there's a possession, and we get it at the 40. Oh, now he's going to keep running. Oh, well, okay, he's dragging a couple tacklers. But he's still running. And so it blew my mind. I know some of the locals were pushing for it to make, you know, SportsCenter's top 10, which I think it, you know, very well could have.
Wow. But, no, that's fun for you because I think people underestimate as a broadcaster, you don't know what's going to happen. This isn't a replay. I mean, you got to, you know, you're probably jumping out of your skin at this incredible play. First of all, it was an amazing recovery. Second of all, he starts chugging towards the end zone. If he gets tackled at the 5, great play. He takes them all in. I was like, that's amazing. I mean, that's just, you know, that's when it hit me. I said, fans need to get out here. Come watch this dude compete. He's a, you know what he is, Dave? Cameron Scadabu is a champion for the overlooked, under-recruited guy. And who doesn't root for a guy like that?
A guy that never misses leg day, clearly, you know, in the gym.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, I always marvel at his beard. He goes, oh, I trimmed it. I was thinking, yeah, but it looks like it's, you know, wow, it, you know, churning legs, good beard, good life. Yeah, he's so humble. You know, he doesn't like talking about himself. They kind of have to drag him out to talk to the media. Well, you're becoming the face of the program, sir. You might want to get used to it. He will. He'll enter it fine. He's all class, humility, and one hard charging, fun dude. A must watch. I call him a must watch. Get out there. You must see him.
I met him last year, and he didn't really want to do an interview. I could tell he didn't really dig it, but it gave me an idea about what he's about. That he's there to play football. You know, nice kid. So
yes, love it.
You can see what his passion really is about.
Yes, and meanwhile, your dog is behind you, laying down, saying, "You know, do you have anything to talk about? Like, you know, latest dog treats, and, you know, I'm hungry over here." What dog is not hungry? Every dog is always hungry. That's why your dog's behind you.
Well, fast asleep. So I timed the podcast out that it'll be ready to end the nap when we're done.
Oh, that's good. Always good to join you, my friend, and we'll do it again.